will, this morning, turn with me to our text, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 9. It's Matthew 28, verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how glorious Thou art. O Lord, on this day that You have set apart, may You bring us, Lord, to Thy feet to worship You, to know, Lord, indeed that Thou hast risen. If You would be so pleased this day to enliven us with Thy power, the power of Thy resurrection, to know, Lord, that You are victorious and that we, if we be in Thee, we are victorious too. O Lord, impress that upon our souls this hour. May You fill us with Thyself. May You empty us of ourselves. And may You attend this message with power. May You attend it with clarity. And may You attend it with all praise and glory that belongs to Thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our text again in verse 9. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Those two words, all hail, are powerful words. As the Lord met these they, and we'll talk about who they are here in a minute. But the two words that He had to speak to them was all hail. All hail means, takes on a glorious meaning in three different ways that I've seen it explained. One means rejoice. There was a great reason on that morning to rejoice. The other one was peace be unto you. There's a great reason to know and to understand that peace has come. And finally, all health and all prosperity, now body and soul, are given unto you. All of this encompasses in those two words, all hail. And when the Lord met them on this way, those are the two words of the gospel that He first spoke to them. So we back up at chapter 28. We'll read down to how we got here. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, in the other gospels, we have that there was a combination of ladies, Mary, the two Marys, Joanna, Salome, a couple other ones. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And the first thing we see in this great heralding of the gospel and this great message is that you and I will never be able to roll the stone away. The stone of unbelief, the stone of the hard heart, the stone of the veil of sin that clouds our vision of the risen Lord. We need one more powerful than we to ever roll that stone away. And we see that here. They could not roll it away themselves. His countenance was like lightning, and His raiment white as snow. And for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. This was quite a sight to see. Remember why the ladies are coming to the sepulcher. They had brought spices. They had brought things to anoint the body of Christ. Everything pointed in their minds and in their hearts that Jesus was still there in the tomb. It does not matter what the prophets said many years ago. It didn't matter what Jesus told them that He would raise again. It mattered only what they believed, what they could muster in themselves. And it was a day that they came to bring spices to His body to make it more, to fill it with aroma. These are the things. Now keep that in mind, because we're about to come to a verse that has something that might challenge us a little bit. And the angel answered and said unto the women, verse 5, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. The testimony is that he was crucified. It doesn't matter what happens in the rest of this chapter where they spread lies and they had man to go out and get paid to say that the disciples came and stole the body, and that was spread throughout all of the region. And still today, many don't believe. It does not change the message of the gospel to the people of God that Christ was crucified. But then the great heralding of the gospel came. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said he would. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. We are creatures of what we see, we believe. And in great mercy, the angel of the Lord said to them, come and see the empty tomb. Come and behold the empty tomb. Come and see where he lay. Now, you might be sitting there thinking that would be enough for you. You may think that the power of seeing the empty grave and the empty tomb would be enough for you to believe. But we go on. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So the messenger of the Lord comes, proclaims the gospel. He shows them the empty tomb. He sends them on the way and says, go and tell the disciples what you've seen. Go and tell them what you've heard. Notice the word disciples. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Isn't that something? Not great joy. They departed the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Maybe they were fearful because of what they had just seen. Maybe they were fearful because the magnificence of the angel put them in their place. But maybe they were fearful because of their unbelief. Maybe they knew they came to that tomb, just as you and I, when we hear the glorious words of the gospel, and we hear what resurrection life is, and we hear the power of the Lord to turn us from evil, and quickly sin floods our mind. And we have thoughts of those sins, and we have thoughts of how our unbelief separates us and keeps us from believing. And we fear. And we fear that maybe we're not God's child. Because when we hear and we see the tomb is empty, or we hear that the tomb is empty, we still can't muster a belief. And we still can't muster a faith. We want to believe, therefore we have joy. We said we know what an empty tomb means. We know what resurrection means. But yet we can't come away. We still have fears. We have the fears of this life. We have the fears of what the day will hold. We have the fears of what tomorrow will hold. We have the fears in our frailty, that sin that wars in our members causes each day of our life. And we have unbelief. And as they went, even with this great message of the gospel, and I can stand before you today, and the pastor and the elders, we can preach the great message of the gospel, that he is not here, for he is risen. But unless the Lord comes, and he says to you, all hail, unless he says to you, rejoice, unless he says to you, and comes with power to roll that stone of unbelief away, you will fear. Unless he comes with his perfect love to cast out that fear, you will fear. And we have this warfare going on in the ladies. As they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. And the world would look at that and say, well, how ludicrous is that? How can you be both at the same time? How can you be fearful and be joyful at the same time? But the child of God knows it all too well. He finds that in his soul and his spirit is willing, but the flesh is most weak. And as we look at ourselves and we look at sin and we look at the waves in the ocean, as we look at the oceans of trials and afflictions, we become fearful. And that builds us to verse 9 in our text this morning, and why it's so necessary. As they heard the gospel spoke to them, as they saw the empty tomb, as they went on their way, because there is a living hope that we'll talk about today. As they lived, as they went about to do what they were told to do, they still had fear. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Rejoice. Peace be unto you. Your body and soul be healed by the great physician. My joy I give unto you. The joy of this day and the joy of that day is that he is risen. He has risen over all of our enemies that we'll touch on in just a moment. Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and they held him by the feet. Not until the Lord pronounced joy and gave them faith to believe. The fear is gone. They come to what faith does. The power of faith brings the child of God to the feet of his Lord. Not to the head of his Lord. To the feet of his Lord. To see his Lord reigning. To see him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. To be brought prostrate to his feet. To know our place, that he must increase and we must decrease. And the Lord brought them to his feet, and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. And the fear is gone. And the looking at self is gone. And the message to go and to go hurry along in what they were doing in their duty is gone. And the Lord brought them with great power and great love and great peace. And he gave them joy, the fruit of the Spirit in their soul, to joyfully worship him at his feet. There wasn't anyone standing up saying, oh Lord, but you revealed this to us first. We have the preeminence. We've been given the gospel today and no other man has. No. They were brought to the feet of the Lord to worship him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. All hail. Peace be unto you. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren, not my disciples. Disciples are followers of Christ. Go tell my brethren. There is a union there. There is that eternal, vital union that he wanted shared and spoken to his people, that you have union with me in my resurrection. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So this morning I want to focus on those two words, the words of Christ in the gospel in verse 9, all hail. What is it in those words that we have this morning to be joyful over? In this day of the resurrection, in the day that the Lord came up out of the grave to defeat death, to defeat sin, defeat the devil, defeat the world. Do we understand that? Do we know that? Do we understand, as only the Lord Jesus Christ can say to our soul, all hail, peace be unto you. Rejoice in what I have done, and what has he done? That's the question. We just sang that song where he said, it is finished is my cry. What has the Lord finished for his people? The first enemy I want to speak about briefly is death. That he has defeated death. Isaiah, long before the Lord ever walked this earth, said these words in Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord, in rising from the dead, in the defeating and swallowing death in victory, has indeed done that. He has taken the sting of death. He has taken the fear of death in him away by the glorious truth and the glorious witness of his resurrection. That is where the victory is. We start today, we'll go to many different places, so we'll be coming back here, but we start today at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, of course, where Paul writes about the great, glorious bodily resurrection that we share in Christ, the victory that we share in Christ. But at the end of this, let's just look at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's when our body, this vile body, is changed to the glorious body that Christ has for his people as being the first fruits, this glorious resurrected body. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's what we just saw. The fulfillment of what I wrote. Death swallowed up in victory. O death, Paul asks this question, where is thy sting? Where can death touch the child of God? Where can death have dominion over the child of God? O grave, where is that victory? Where is thy victory? Death, how can you win that Christ has already rose from the dead? And if we be risen with Christ, Colossians 3 tells us, if we be risen with Christ, we have resurrection life in Christ, and we will never taste of death. Death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your victory? Death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. Yes, it is. It is sin that causes us to fear death, because every day we sin in these members, and it causes us to be fearful of the life to come and to fear that the Lord did not die for our sins. And that's the sting that comes. And it comes and afflicts every child of God. But sin does not have dominion. We'll see that in a moment. And neither does death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection. As he died and was risen, we died and rise with him. That's the beauty of baptism, the picture of baptism. That's the glorious testimony of spiritual baptism, is that we died with him and we will be risen with him and are risen with him. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It is finished. It is finished. He has come forth from the grave. He is sitting upon in heaven, reigning, sitting at the right hand of the Father, reigning. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Life for the child of God is not in vain here. It seems that way many times. But in the power of the resurrection of Christ, he shows us that life is in his Son, and that life worth living is only life that flows from the Son. We have mentioned sin briefly. Let's turn over to Romans 6. See what Paul says about sin. And about what resurrection did. We'll start in verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's what we need to hear. All hail, rejoice, the Lord has conquered sin. And it is a struggle that we have, as we just saw in the ladies who came to the tomb, a great struggle with fear and joy, a great struggle that they did not believe. A great struggle against sin. But henceforth, because of the power of His resurrection, because of defeating sin, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if he be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. That is the life I just spoke about. That's what resurrection life is. Living unto God. That's what Paul desired to know, the power of His resurrection. All hail. Rejoice in what Christ has done. Rejoice, peace be to your soul this morning for what Christ has done. And if the Lord is willing to meet us this hour in the resurrection power, He will flood your soul with what He has done. All glory to Him for what He has done. But not just death, not just sin. What about the devil? Has he been destroyed? Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 tells us this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He came and was made flesh, and he died, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's what Satan wields in his hand, the power of death, to tell us, fear death, fear death, fear death. You deserve death. You deserve hell. You deserve all these things. And standing in ourself, we must say to Him, you're absolutely right. We do deserve those things. But thanks be unto Christ who gives us the victory through what He has done. And if we be in Christ, we deserve what Christ has for us because of union, because we're in Christ, no matter what the devil tells us. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we feel? Isn't that, I'm going on 48 years, if the Lord is pleased to give me that time. And I can honestly say, most of my adult life, that struggle with sin, the struggle with the old nature, the old man, all my life I'm subject to fears and fears and bondage to the law. But when the Lord comes to my soul and says, all hail, that is when the time is to rejoice. That is when the time is to partake in the power of His resurrection. That's when He comes with power. John said that the Lord was manifest to put down all of the works of the devil, to destroy all of the works of the devil. May the Lord impress that upon you here, that He has destroyed death, that He's put under His feet sin and the devil, and not only that, but the world. This world that pulls at us every day of our life, this world that wants our affections, this world that comes after us because it's enmity with our Lord. In John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. All hail, peace, joy. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And He did that in the power of His resurrection. coming up out of the grave. Those four enemies just mentioned, death, sin, devil, the world, all of those have been defeated, all of them put under his feet. And in the power of the resurrection, in the life of the resurrection, when the Lord says to our soul, I am the resurrection, I am the life, he gives us that living hope that Peter talked about. That Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The power of the resurrection speaks to the soul of the child of God that we are alive in Christ, that we are more than conquerors through Christ over death, over sin, over devil, over the devil, over the world, over the afflictions, over the hardness of life. We are victorious in Him. That's the glorious, that's the joy. That's what He said to those, like, oh hell, yes you have fears, but I must be worshipped. Worshipped in spirit and in truth. And the Lord subdues our flesh and subdues our fears and subdues all of the things that hinder us from worshiping Him. That's the power of His resurrection. To overcome. To liberate. To deliver. Let's go back to our text now. Back in Matthew 28. Verse 9. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, rejoice, be comforted, peace be unto you. May there be health to your soul, because I am here. I am the great physician. I'm the only physician. And they came and held Him by the feet, and they worshipped Him. I want to take the rest of this time that we have this morning to share with you some things in the four Gospels that happened at the resurrection. That the Lord pronounced the resurrection. It's what we have. What is it this morning? I just spoke briefly about the enemies that have been put all hail. What is it we have to rejoice in? Do you rejoice? Are you full of fear this morning? Are you also anxious? Do you joy on one hand? Do you fear on the other? Is your mind caught up with things of work or things of what the day is going to be like or the troubles we have at home? Mine is too. Such is life here. But there's a reason to rejoice. There is a reason for joy. There's a power behind that joy. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ saying and giving that power to behold Him. All hail. Look at the last part of Matthew 28. We'll go in order of the Gospels now. Matthew 28. Look how Matthew 28 ends. And look at 17. Interestingly enough, we're right back here again. This is after I said, you know, I told you earlier they hurried about when the tomb was emptied. They paid the soldiers to say that the disciples came and stole the body. And we're told that sad thing, but a true reality to unbelief in this life and how much enmity there is against the risen Lord. And we come to 17, and when they saw Him, this is the disciples, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. You see that? When they saw Him with their eyes, they worshiped Him. Like you and I are doing today. We come to the place we hope that the Lord meets us, and we come to worship. But we may come with doubts. We may come with fears. We may come with slothfulness. We may come with many reasons. They saw Him. They worshiped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power. This is resurrection life. This is Christ is risen. He is not here, for He is risen. What is that to us? What is that to the child of God? What does the message "all hail" mean? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Does that offend you? Does that offend you that all power rests in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And if you have any power to overcome, it must be because you're in Christ. And it must be His power. And it must be the power of His resurrection. And it must be the power to overcome the doubts and the fears. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And praise be to God that it's in His hand, for He knows what my soul needs. He knows what I need every day, and the morsel that I need every day, and the grace that's sufficient for today. He knows it. And He knows and has the power to come to my soul to make me willing to love Him and to trust Him and to have joy in Him and to have peace in Him. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And in that power, He says, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is to the disciples. For you and I, it's go and live. Live in the power of the resurrection. Live in the freedom that you have been set free in Christ. Live by the power of Him. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then these precious words, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My oldest daughter gave me a wallet recently, and she had those words inscribed in the middle of it. When I open the wallet, I see, and I open it a lot, and I see those words. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And when the Lord speaks those words to me, that's resurrection power. The Lord is with me where I go. The Lord has gone first wherever I go. He is the first fruits of all of life. And everything He has done, He will reveal to me in this life in measure and in the life to come in greater way, because then I'll see Him as He is. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the world. All hail. Rejoice in that. Turn with me to the end of Mark 16. After the Lord spoke to the disciples in verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. All hail. Rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ was received up into heaven. And He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for me, going before the Father for me, for His people. Is that not something to rejoice in? Is that not the power of the resurrection? That He is reigning because He has defeated death, He has defeated sin, He has defeated the devil, He has defeated the world. That is resurrection life. That He was received up into heaven, and He is sitting and reigning on the right hand of God. May the Lord come with power to give you joy in His reigning. Joy that He is the King of Kings. Joy that He is the Lord of Lords. Now let's go to the end of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Before we go to the end, let's just briefly look at 5 and 6. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, the angels, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's something to rejoice in. The living Lord is not among the dead. He's not in the world of the dead professor. He's not in the world of dead religion. He's not in the world of unbelief. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Now turn over to 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. That Christ has fulfilled the law, and the bondage of that law, the must to and have to, is gone. It's swallowed up in Him. It's resurrection life. Another defeating, a defeating of the grave clothes that have bound us so much, of the bondage. We've been set free in Christ. He has fulfilled all things which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, hell, rejoice that the Lord opens our understanding to understand the scriptures, that all power is given unto him to do so. That it's not left for you and me to discern. It's not left to you and me to interpret the scriptures. They're not of private interpretation. But they are interpreted by the Holy Spirit of God. Christ's Spirit in our soul, in our mind, in our heart. And said unto them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. All hail. If the Lord has given you joy in your soul to see and to witness His Son, it is because of Him. It is because He has given you faith to believe and to understand and to be given repentance and remission of sins. That He has taken every sin and He has nailed it to the tree, and He's taken them far away, as far as the east is to the west, and they will never be put to your charge, no matter what any man says. For there's no condemnation in Christ. Ye are witnesses of these things. Are you? Has the Lord witnessed to your soul in this hour that you live in the resurrection life of Christ? Do you still see bondage at times? I'm with you. I do too. May the Lord deliver us from all fears and all bondage. And may He open our understanding to see Him reigning. The last place we'll go this morning is John 20. Here in all four of the Gospels. And after the Lord had appeared to Mary, after He had spoken to her, in verse 20, and when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. May you and I today be glad. That's joy. May the Lord say all hail to us this hour, to see and to partake in the happiness of the risen Lord. For He is not here. He is risen. All of these enemies that plague us in this life, He has delivered us from them all. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Don't miss that. He said to them again. You and I must hear those words over and over again. Peace be unto you, because we are fearful. We do struggle, but He is faithful. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And the child of God is sent into this life to live in a living hope of the resurrection of his Lord and Savior, who has performed all things for him. May the Lord impress that power upon us this hour and the hour to come, and many, many times as we leave this place. May He be pleased to come with power and say these words to your soul. Our text one more time. Matthew 28:9. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. May He bring you to do the same, to the glory and praise of Him. Dear Heavenly Father, add Thy power, the power of Thy resurrection. May You come to our souls and say all hail to us this hour. Lord, may we joy in what You have done for the glory of Thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.